I'd like to thank the church here for allowing me to stand in this place once again. Trust that we might be encouraged as we look at the Word of God. The three things that were in each passage that we read was concerning hairs. There's a lot of scriptures that mention the hairs of our head. And if you want a text, then it's chapter 10 of Matthew and verse 30. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. It's a wonderful thing that he's able to say these words to his disciples to encourage them, because he's already told them what is going to happen to many of them. You know, they're going to be persecuted, they're going to be jailed, they're going to be, some of them are going to be killed. In fact, I believe they were nearly all killed. And he sought to cheer them and encourage them with these words. And we can think of verse 30, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. It sounds like something from the Proverbs. And we could treat that as a proverb in this sentence. Before we go any further, I'd just like to show you that the hairs on our head were something that's spoken about quite a lot in the scriptures. It must have been a favourite phrase or saying down through Bible times. It occurs quite often. And I'm going to just quickly find a few for us. You don't have to look for them, but I'm going to Genesis 44. My fingers are very sticky at the moment. Genesis 44 and verse 22. No, that's not right. 44, no, 29. Genesis 44:29, and if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Grey hairs are indicative of usually old age, not necessarily though. And then we have there are probably more than I've found, and I'm going to refer to. We go to the Psalms. And Psalm 40, and Psalm 40 and verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Obviously the person who wrote this psalm, David, must have had a good head of hair, because he's comparing his troubles, they're more than the hairs of his head, which he would have trouble counting. In fact, we all would have trouble counting the hairs on our head, unless we only have a few. And then in Isaiah 46 verse 4, I believe I read this, they're described as hoar hairs, frosty, white, in other words, old white hairs on an old person. And then Isaiah 50, Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I assume that means the hair on the face rather than on the head, but it could be both. And then Daniel 4. I'm doing this really out of interest. I think that they probably had this as a phrase amongst them, amongst the people for a very long time. Daniel 4 and verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like birds' claws. That's just a reference there to hairs as part of the description of what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And then two times in Luke, we have not a hair of your head will perish. And we're going to look at Luke 7. Luke 7 and I've got Luke 8. Luke 7 and verse 38. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And in 1 Corinthians, we've got, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. And in Revelation 1:14, we have this reference, his head and his hairs were white like wool. So then we have this expression concerning hair on our head, principally. And you've probably heard of the expression, a hair's breadth. And we could use that to describe how only just something happened. We won a game of snooker or whatever by a hair's breadth. It was very close. Or if someone threw something at you and you ducked just in time, you might say that you were a fraction away from something. And a hair's breadth being a very small, narrow margin. At the, what's the place called again yesterday? The Hut. At the Hut yesterday, I was speaking to somebody and he wanted to know what I was going to talk about today. And so I told him, and then he told me this. And I find this fascinating. DNA. Now, I had to look this up because I can't remember what the letters stand for. I knew it was acid, the A. Deoxyribonucleic. I can't even say it. Deoxyribonucleic acid. I think that's better. It's a molecule. And we've got millions of them in our bodies. And DNA is amazing. It's a wonderful thing that we have. It's an instruction manual or blueprint that tells our cells how to grow, how to function and divide, you know, to reproduce. And it looks like a twisted ladder. I think that's right, a twisted ladder. And a single human DNA cell, according to what I found out last night, is about 2 meters long. But there are a great many of them in our body. And if you connected each DNA cell one to the other, so you have a long line, it might be a twisty line, then they would run from the Earth to the sun 300 times. Well, actually it's over 300 times. So I think of that verse, we are wonderfully made, fearfully and wonderfully made. But I'm told that the DNA molecule is a code for life. And if you like, a code is often, for us, they're numbers. You type in a code. So you could think of DNA as a number code. And I think there are four numbers. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm talking out of my depth. But each hair that we have has got DNA in it, this code, this number. So we could say not only are the hairs counted, But they are numbered as well because of the DNA. Now, we've got four things. That was just an introduction. We've got four things that we can think about when we think of this lovely verse of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one's incredibly brief. First thing is, who counts the hairs on our head? Well, obviously, we can't. There's far too many. I don't think we've got a device that can measure or count the hairs on our head. It's obviously done by the Lord. And we could say it's done by Christ. We could say it's done by our Heavenly Father, this counting. And we can say that because He knows everything about us. He doesn't just know about the number of hairs on our head. He knows what's going on in our brain right now. He knows about the flow of blood in our bodies. He knows everything about us. It's nothing to God, who is infinite in wisdom and knowledge, to know how many hairs there are on a head. And secondly, I've only got four. Secondly, we might read this text, all have been numbered. In other words, from the past, the numbering's been done. In the past, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Well, when did this happen? It's God's foreordination, where you have been numbered. And this foreknowledge of God, his understanding of the future that he's in control of, extends to everything, all of us, every part of us. Our being as a whole is foreknown of God. We don't know when we're going to die, mercifully, but he does. That day has been appointed. We don't know what sicknesses we're going to get in the future or what triumphs we're going to achieve in our studies in the future. But God does. He knows everything about us, all of us. And we have, you don't have to look this up, in Psalm 139, we have this wonderful text, "In thy book, all my members were written." Must have been a very big book. If you think of the DNA strands that are in our body. All that concerns us is foreknown even to our hair. Now we get upset, well, I suppose we do, men might do, if there's hair loss as we get a bit older. I suggest it might be even more distressing for women, because it's a lot rarer for women to lose their hair. And some people are concerned, I wouldn't say worried, but they put a lot of thought into the style of their hair, and it has to be just right. A lot of time and effort is put into the going to the hairdressers. And we could say that trivial things, our hair, what it looks like, how long it is, the trivial things in life concern us. And all that we do, even the least casual thought or act, whether it be a kind act or a cruel act, is known by God. But if He knows about our hair and how many there are and how and that He's numbered them, then He knows about everything. Now, God knows everything that we undergo. Life might affect our hair. Now, what do I mean? Well, life as we get as we live in here, our hair can change. It can get thinner. It can change color. I know we can change the color of our hair ourselves artificially, but every hair that's been changed with sorrow is numbered. Now, I've got an example that some of you might remember. A footballer called Bobby Charlton. He used to play. Well, he played in the World Cup, so we're thinking, 1966, when he played in the World Cup. But he was also a player for Manchester United. And sometime before the World Cup, his team, by airplane, went to Germany, I think, to play in some final. I'm not sure. But it was a European game. And on the way back in their airplane, it crashed, and most of the team died, but he survived, Bobby Charlton. And the stress and the horror of his companions, his teammates dying, I don't know about the manager, I can't remember, caused, well, it is thought, people have commented, that it made him lose his hair. He went white and lost a lot of it. And yeah, you could clearly see when he was running around the pitch, because he continued to play football. As I say, he played in the World Cup. He was just bald on top. But he has some just some hairs that would fall about at the sides. So life can affect the hairs on our head. So what have we had? Who does the counting? The Lord. And then we've thought about God's foreordination, but only very briefly. What about its lessons? Jesus mentions this counting of the hair on our head for a purpose. God knows the number of the hairs on our head, and it makes us, or should make us, brave under trial. So when we're going through a trial, whatever it is, whether it's persecution or whether it's symptoms, pain, he knows all about it. And we should be able to say, I'm going through this for a purpose. There's a purpose for this. I don't know what it is, perhaps, but God does. And everything that happens to us is of him. And it should make us more courageous when we face tough times. If we're Christians, it should teach us to be submissive, to know that he is so caring about us that he even knows the number of hairs that we have. We're not that bothered about the number of hairs that we've got. And it should help us to be hopeful for the future and to help us to be joyful. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God knows us. He knows our down sitting and our uprising. And it's too wonderful for me to think about. That's one of the from one of the Psalms. And it should influence us. We're honored to be predestined and foreordained at such a minute scale. And if God numbers even our hairs, then we are honored indeed. If he cares about us that much, and wants to know about us that much, and to be the subject of a divine purpose of grace is glorious. And then number three, entitled knowledge. We are known. We are known so well as to have our hairs counted. And they're minute, aren't they? The hairs. At the time of the Bible being written, I suppose the only other thing that might have been thinner than the hair of your head would be a spider's web, the strands of spider webbing. They didn't know about the science like we know, about atoms and molecules. So this would be very up to date for them. Talking about the hairs on our head, atoms undiscovered at the time. And it indicates God's complete knowledge of us, not just our head, but our spirit, our soul, and our body. Everything is known by God about everyone because he's omniscient and he is Lord of heaven. And God has preeminent knowledge. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Often think about people who have made mistakes, Christians. They've sinned, I say mistakes, or they've got opinions that possibly don't quite match with the scriptures. And we think, oh, we're never gonna be like that. But God knows, we don't know. We don't even know ourselves. He knows us better than ourselves. So we might say, oh, I'm never going to make a mistake like that, but you can't be sure. But God knows. We've never numbered the hairs on our head, but He has. And it's a tender knowledge. It's a loving knowledge. A parent values each hair. I don't know where this came from. A parent values each hair of their children. They wouldn't want to see anything happen to their children's head or hair. And that's how God looks at us in a tender way. If our sins have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sympathetic with us. He has sympathetic knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ has entered into trials that we have yet to face and never will. You cannot begin to understand what he went through on the cross. It's not just, the physical pain. He bore the punishment for our sins in his body. And this caused him to die, or say prematurely. The other two were still alive on the cross. And they marveled, didn't they, when they found that he had died. Crucifixion was meant to take days. I mean, if you were really fit and strong as a man, I don't know whether they did women or not, but as a man, fit and strong man, you could be on the cross. If the weather wasn't too bad, to make you faint and weak for many, many days, over a week. What a slow, lingering death that is. What a cruel treatment our Lord Jesus Christ had to go through. And God enters into our trials with us. He's with us all the time, no matter whether they last a long time, years, or just a few days. And it's a constant knowledge. God never switches off his love to us. And we have this lovely scripture, not a hair falls from our head without God knowing. Just as not a bird, a sparrow falls to the ground without God. So in all our trials and tribulations, it's constant knowledge and lessons. Well, all our parts, they don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. And we should give our bodies and our time and our efforts and our strengths and our studies to Him because He loves us so much. And then concerning prayer, our Heavenly Father knows what things we have need of before we ask for them. And we don't pray to inform Him of what we need. He already knows what we need in our prayers. Wonderful thought. And concerning our circumstances, all our circumstances are different. And whether they be what we might call small or great, if our hairs are, that's a lovely word, catalogued by God's providence, we can be assured that the greater concerns of life are before our Father's eye. I know this is a little bit repetitive, but it's just encouraging, isn't it, to know what he knows about us, or it should be. And then we have the value or the valuation. The hairs of our head are counted because they're valued. He values us to the nth degree. We poor saints, the first hymn described us as worms, which we are. We're highly esteemed by God. He calls us friend. He called Peter his friend, knowing that he was going to betray him or deny him. And if each of our hair of our head is valued by God, what must our head be worth, which is more easily damaged? We don't not too worry if we lose a hair or two, but if we hurt our head, then that can be very dangerous. So what must the value of our head be worth, our person, if each hair is valued by God. And then you can say, well, what about our body? What must their bodies be worth to God? We're worth a lot to God. And then there's something else that's inside us that he values probably more than anything else, and that's our soul. Now, I've got a reference here that I didn't write out. I'm going to look it up just to see what it is, and you can if you like as well. It's Matthew 16. Oh, I know what it is. Matthew 16 and verse 26. I'm going to read verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The most precious thing that we have isn't our hair or our head or our bodies, it's our soul. It never dies, and it is highly valued by God. It's a shame that the world doesn't value the soul. And we've already mentioned the incredible cost that Jesus had to pay to redeem each soul that he has redeemed. And we cannot think for one moment, don't let this thought enter your head, that he can lose one soul that he has saved. And I've got another little reference here. It's in Luke 15. That's not too far away. I've still got Luke open. Luke 15 and verse 4. I must have written it for a reason. And he spake this parable unto them. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He's not going to lose one of his children that he has saved. And we ought to think more highly of one another. If God thinks highly of us and he's going to persevere with us and bring us to glory, we ought to esteem each other greater than ourselves. And it's our duty and our honour and joy to seek after such who are not saved, that are not called by grace at this time. The people that we work with, the people that we live next to. I know it can be very difficult because our neighbours can be awkward, but it's our duty and our honour, and it should be our joy to speak a word that's useful to them for their salvation, so that God may work his grace in their hearts. He uses us, wants to use us to spread that word. And I think finally, oh yes, I just mentioned it, preservation. The hairs of their head, or our head, are all numbered because they are to be preserved from all evil. How do I know that? Well, Luke 21, verse 8, I don't know whether we read this or not. There shall not a hair of your head perish. God's going to look after us. We might die, but not a hair of our head is going to perish. And we're going to be helped and saved from persecution. And we are not to fear them. I believe we read that in Matthew 10 at the beginning. We are preserved from accident, or at least God's will takes place during any accident that we might call an accident. Nothing can harm us unless God permits it. I'll just say one three-letter word, Job. All that happened to Job was permitted by God. God didn't do it, but it was just permitted by God. Don't touch his life, Satan was told. Well, I don't know if in this country we will ever, any of us, suffer hunger. But many Christians do in other countries, other parts of the world. They haven't got enough water. They thirst. And their clothing might be ragged, might be very old and smelly. God supplies our necessities if he knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. And sickness Sickness can bring us closer to God rather than send us away. And I've got another little reference here from James. This is a well-known one. James 1. I wrote this for a reason, so I'll read it. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So all of us who are going through any kind of temptation, whether it's a trial, pain, sickness, feeling unwell, the Lord's with us. He knows all about us. And we shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And from death, preservation from death. We are not losers in death. All we do is gain. We gain a life that's eternal in the heavens with God. Can't begin to think what it's going to be like, although we are given hints and clues. But let us not be afraid. Let us trust our Lord and Saviour and not be afraid. He knows about our hair, the hair on our head, even that minute detail. Let us set a high value upon our souls and feel an earnest love for others. Now, this was written by Matthew Henry. If God numbers the hairs, much more does he number their heads and take care of their lives, their comforts, their souls. This suggests that God takes more care of them than they do of themselves. Isn't that true? They who are careful to number their money, goods, and cattle, yet were never careful to number hairs which fall and are lost, and they never miss them. But God numbers the hairs of his people, and not a hair of their head shall perish. Not the least hurt shall be done unto them, but upon a valuable consideration. So precious to God are his saints and their lives and deaths. I hope that's been an encouragement to us all.